The Truth. This is the story of Champagne Jacquesson, written by Lisa Perotti Brown for The Wine Palette. Champagne has long traded on the illusion of sameness, of house style, of continuity, of a product engineered to taste identical year after year. Champagne Jacquesson has spent the better part of the last three decades dismantling that idea, piece by piece, and replacing it with something far less comfortable. Truth. Truth of sight. Truth of vintage. Truth of variation. Founded in 1798, Jacquesson carries the weight of history with ease, perhaps because it has chosen not to be constrained by it. The house was once a commercial powerhouse, producing nearly a million bottles in the 19th century, buoyed by technical innovation and prestige. It even has a peculiar footnote in Champagne history. Adolphe Jacquesson's invention of the mousselet, the wire cage that still holds every cork in place today. But if the past gives Jacquesson legitimacy, it is the present that gives it urgency. That urgency intensified under the Chiquet brothers, who took control in 1988 and effectively rewrote the rules for what a champagne house could be. They rejected the industry's obsession with consistency, opting instead to embrace variation as a mark of authenticity. In doing so, they pushed Jacquesson into a rare category, a negotiant house that operates like a grower estate, with all the risks and rewards that entails. That philosophy is not theoretical. It is embedded in every stage of production. "We love wood for natural and slow oxidation," explains wine director Jan Legall. "Oxidative and not oxidized." It's a deceptively simple distinction, yet it defines the house style. Jacquesson's wines are not about pristine reductive fruit. They are about controlled evolution, oxygen used as a tool rather than avoided as a threat. Fermentation and aging in oak, combined with full malolactic conversion across all wines, build a textural, layered profile that feels closer to still wine than to conventional champagne. That approach extends into the cellar as a kind of disciplined flexibility. "There is some batonnage, it depends on the vintage," Legall notes. "When the maturity is high, you sometimes need less lees stirring, sometimes more." In other words, nothing is fixed. Everything responds to the year. Even blending, traditionally the domain of rigid house style, is treated as a late, deliberate act. "In June, we do the blending, late to make sure no lesser lots go into the cuvées," he says. That timing matters. It reflects a refusal to compromise, a willingness to wait until the full picture of the vintage is clear before making decisions that will define it. At the center of this system sits the now iconic 700 series, which accounts for roughly 90% of production. These are not non-vintage wines in the traditional sense. Each release is anchored in a single base year, supplemented by reserve wines and labeled sequentially: 728, 743, 748, rather than branded or romanticized. The concept is brutally straightforward. Each cuvée is the best possible expression of that particular harvest, not a reconstruction of a fixed flavor profile. Each cuvée has the spirit of the vintage as well as the personality of Jacquesson, Legall says. That balancing act between year and house is where Jacquesson operates most convincingly. It does not erase identity, it refines it. Alongside the 700 series, Jacquesson produces a limited set of single vineyard Lieu Dit champagnes, each expressing a specific site. These include Avize Champ-Caïn Chardonnay, Dizzy Corn Beautré Chardonnay, et Vauzelles Termes Pinot Noir, Dizzy Terre Rouge Pinot Noir Rosé. These wines are produced only in the best vintages and in very small quantities, typically around 10% of total production. Critically, they are not prestige cuvées in the traditional sense. Instead, they are site-specific studies, emphasizing the individuality of Champagne's terroirs rather than the blending expertise of the house. Jacques-Saëns vineyard holdings are concentrated in some of Champagne's most respected villages, including Grand Cru, Aix-Avize, Wari, Premier Cru, Dizy, Hautevillers, Mareuil-sur-Aix. A small proportion of fruit is sourced from trusted growers, but the focus remains on estate vineyards. Scale, therefore, is also part of this story. In a region dominated by multi-million bottle operations, Jacques-Saëns remains deliberately small, producing only 250,000 to 300,000 bottles annually. The vineyards span about 36 hectares, combining estate holdings and contracted parcels, predominantly planted with Chardonnay. Farming is increasingly aligned with organic principles, with no herbicides used and certification underway. There is also an intimacy to the estate that feels increasingly rare in Champagne. A one-hectare close, La Clos de Vieux Château, sits in Dizy, entirely planted to Pinot Noir, connected to the house itself. It is both literal and symbolic. A vineyard at the center of operations, reinforcing the idea that Jacques-Saëns is, at its core, a wine estate rather than a brand. Even the use of reserve wines, often treated as a technical necessity elsewhere, is handled with intent. The reserve wine is very important. We use 20 to 30%. The reserve wine is stored in 500-liter barrels. We use it like spices for the wine, Legall explains. That last phrase, like spices, is telling. Reserve wines are not there to standardize. They are there to season, to add nuance without overwhelming the primary expression of the year. Perhaps the most radical decision came in 2008, when Jacques-Saëns began aging its wines under cork rather than crown cap. It was not a stylistic flourish, but the result of extensive trials. The conclusion was clear. Cork allowed the wines to age better, developing greater complexity over time. In a region that often prioritizes efficiency and control, Jacques-Saëns chose a more unpredictable, more organic path. The cumulative effect of these choices is a portfolio that resists easy categorization. These are champagnes that ask something of the drinker. They are less immediately charming, more structurally driven, often demanding time in the glass. But they reward attention with a level of detail and depth that conventional blends rarely achieve. Jacques-Saëns' evolution has also positioned it at the center of a broader shift within Champagne. As climate change improves ripening conditions and consumer preferences tilt toward authenticity and transparency, the region has begun to move, slowly, toward the model Jacques-Saëns embraced decades ago. It is no longer an outlier. It is a reference point. And yet, there is nothing complacent about the house today. The acquisition by Artemis Domaine in 2022 has added global visibility, but the underlying philosophy remains intact, arguably, because it is too deeply embedded to be altered without dismantling the entire identity. What Jacques-Saëns ultimately stands for is not just a different style of champagne, but a different mindset. It rejects the safety of sameness in favor of something more unpredictable, more honest. It accepts that great wine is not about control, but about interpretation.